In last week's State of the Union segment, we looked at North Carolina, and this week we're focusing on the other state holding its primary on May 6th, Indiana. Joining me now to discuss what matters to voters in the Hoosier State is Brian A. Howie, publisher of Howie Politics Indiana. Welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon, Leonard. Great to be with you.
First of all, before we get into the politics, why Hoosier?
Wow. Let's see. I think it goes back to the pioneer days when we're sparsely populated. One of the stories is that people would yell out across the valley, "Who's here?" And somehow phonically, it began being enunciated as Hoosier, and it's a badge that that most people in Indiana wear proudly, whether they're from East Chicago or down along the Ohio River.
And we're still asking who's here because the results of the polls have been really confusing. Your latest poll results were released yesterday, and you have Barack Obama leading by 2 points, which I guess is inside the margin of error. But right. Another poll has Clinton ahead, and a third has them in a dead heat. So is this because his polling isn't done well in Indiana, or is this a really volatile situation?
It's a very volatile situation. I think, as you well know, any poll is simply a snapshot in time. And so, we're seeing these little individual pictures coming up. And, when I talk to both the Clinton and Obama people, I'm getting the sense that they're seeing this, what we call in Hoosier basketball parlance, a barn burner. It's too close to call. In our poll, I was fascinated with the fact that of the Democrats, it was absolutely split, 46-46 tied. But Indiana is different than Pennsylvania, and this is an open primary, and we're going to have a lot of Republicans and independents, maybe as many as 20% of the people voting in the Democratic primary are not going to be Democrats. And the irony here is that it could be Republicans who actually determine who wins this primary.
Do you think that there are Republicans voting in the Democratic primary because they plan to vote for a Democrat in November or because they want to affect the primary?
Well, I think we're seeing a little bit of the Rush Limbaugh effect, vote for Hillary Clinton because they perceive her to be weaker against John McCain in the fall. I file that under the be careful what you wish for category. I think Frank Rich pointed out in his column last Sunday that there's some significant problems with McCain. He lost something like 200,000 votes to Ron Paul and Mike Huckabee. Remember those guys?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is hardly a unified front. I just have the feeling that whoever wins the presidential nomination for the Democrats they're really going to be tough to beat in the fall.
Really, because Indiana has only gone once for a Democrat since 1936, and that was Lyndon Johnson. I would have thought that'd be very good news for John McCain. Has the state changed that much over the years?
Well, no, it hasn't changed a lot electorally. We're very presidentially. We vote for Republicans. However, it's 16 years up until Mitch Daniels got in 2004. We had two Democratic governors. We had three Democratic congressmen flip seats in 2006, in part because of the war. So, we're not the vast red state that the national media tends to portray us.
Are you split because I assume Barack Obama is helped by the fact that part of Northwest Indiana is in the Chicago media market, and voters there may be more familiar with him.
Sure. About a quarter of the state in northern Indiana, going over to the South Bend Elkhart area and down almost to Purdue University, is within the Chicago media market. And just to follow up on who these Republicans are, while there may be some of the Rush Limbaugh mischief makers, there are also a lot of Republicans that are not happy about the Iraq war. We're paying about $3.75 a gallon gas. People are spending $100 on two bags of groceries. That might be normal for somebody in New York City, but that really isn't the case. Hasn't been the case here in Indiana.
New Yorkers would love to be paying $3.75 for gas.
Right. But this is a real burden on the pocketbooks here in Indiana, and there, I know a lot of Republicans who are not happy with what I call the oil presidency, and I think they're going to take a long, hard look at somebody like Barack Obama, and some are even taking a long, hard look at Hillary Clinton.
Well, Indiana is the kind of state that Hillary Clinton has done well in the past, and there is one poll that just came out this morning that has her up by 8 points, and she has been endorsed by Senator Evan Bayh, who is not only a senator but a former governor of the state. I don't know whether an endorsement is all that relevant in Indiana, but that isn't that all significant?
Yes, the Bayh organization, the Indiana Democratic Establishment, the state chairman Dan Parker. We've got the former governor Joe Kernan. A couple speakers of the House, past and present, former First Lady, have all, gotten on board the Clinton bandwagon. Having said that, just this morning, U.S. Rep. Barron Hill from the 9th Congressional District down in southeastern Indiana endorsed Obama. Lee Hamilton from the Foreign Relations Committee in the House endorsed Obama. So is Tim Romer. They both served on the 911 commission. So, we're seeing some support for Obama, but institutionally, the Democratic Party has lined up behind Evan Bayh and Hillary Clinton. And we may be one of the only states where a lot of Democrats are actually interested in voting for the vice president. That is, if Hillary Clinton wins the nomination, a lot of people think that Evan Bayh will certainly be on a short list to be a vice presidential candidate. And I think that's probably different than just about any other state.
Well, I'm sure there's added excitement because this is the first time in a long time that Indiana's primary has been this important. It is estimated that 200,000 Indianans have registered to vote since the beginning of the year, more than in North Carolina, which has had a considerable increase. But then there's the other side of that story. Weren't more than 500,000 inactive voters taken off the rolls 2 years ago?
Yeah, there's been some voting list purges and everything, but there's really been heightened interest in this particular race. For years we heard about the 1968 race between Bobby Kennedy, Eugene McCarthy, and the favorite son, Roger Branigan, the governor of Indiana. I heard those stories constantly. They're going to be talking about this race for the next 40 or 50 years because it is an anomaly. We're so late in the electoral process, in the primary process. And it's Leonard, it's been amazing to, go to Terre Haute, Indiana, and finding people lining up at 2:45 a.m. To get a seat in a cafeteria to hear Hillary Clinton speak. I've been at countless rallies, town hall meetings, and people are, lining up around the blocks, around the stadium. There's just been incredible interest, and I think we're going to see some record turnout on Tuesday. Where are those 200,000 new voters go? I think that's a real wild card. And, when you see all the polls showing this race to be, within the margin of error, I think there could be some surprises next Tuesday night.
My guest is Brian A. Howie, publisher of Howie Politics Indiana. We're talking about Indiana in our States of the Union series. I mentioned a 500,000 voters being taken off the rolls. Was that connected to the law that the Supreme Court just decided?
Not really. The voter ID law came from a Republican Secretary of State, and they make the case that you need ID to do just about anything in society, and why not have it for voting? The irony here is that the voter fraud that we've had has centered around absentee voting, as opposed to people showing up on election day at the polls. So a lot of critics of this thing saw it as a solution to a problem that didn't exist, and the problem that does exist really hasn't been addressed, and that's the absentee voting.
And the state Democrats unanimously opposed the bill,
yes,
because they saw this as a way of keeping people who are likely to vote for the Democrats off out of the voting booths.
Now, yes, and you know, there have been a couple cases when they argued the case before the Supreme Court, they cited several cases, but I haven't seen anything widespread. Our big problem with elections has been more bureaucratic ineptitude as opposed to turning away people that don't have a photo ID, and the state has done things like the day before and the day of elections, they keep the Bureau of Motor Vehicles open so that you can actually go in and quickly get a photo ID in order to vote. It is a little bit of a burden, but that's what the critics are saying.
But people can also have already been voting, haven't they?
Yes, we've had about 90,000 people that have already voted. And
any sense? They can't be polled, or can they?
I don't think they can. Obama really made a real push this spring to sign up new voters, and there's some anecdotal evidence that he'll get a lot of these new voters, but it'd be pure speculation on my part.
In your reporting, have you heard anything from voters about Reverend Jeremiah Wright, which seems to be the major controversy du jour? Is that likely to hurt Barack Obama next Tuesday?
Yeah, there is a sense that the Reverend Wright story kind of got away from Barack Obama, and a lot of his supporters, including Representative Hill, again, who just endorsed him, were happy that he came out and forcefully addressed the issue. But you know, I was pretty skeptical that the whole bitter controversy, the bitter remarks, and if you listen to John Mellencamp's classic, rock song "Small Town," he made some of the very same observations with his lyrics that Obama did in San Francisco. Don't get the sense that is the driving force behind this election. I really do think that it's about jobs, about high grocery prices, about high gasoline prices.
Well,
and we've seen both Obama and Clinton, for instance, they're both running TV ads now about the gasoline prices.
Even though Indiana is the leading producer of biofuels, including ethanol and biodiesel in the country, that hasn't lowered any of the cost.
That's been somewhat controversial because people are now saying that a lot of the corn crops going into gas tanks are creating the higher grocery prices. And so this is all is shaking out in the economy right now.
What about some of the other things? You mentioned jobs. Indiana is a major manufacturing state, produces, among other things, elevators, refrigerators, engines, recreational vehicles, mobile homes. It's one of the leading steel producers in the country. So does that mean that you have become vulnerable to economic downturns of the sort that we are experiencing now?
Absolutely.
Is NAFTA an issue in this campaign?
Yeah, for many years I would hear a lot of UAW activists, Democratic activists, complaining about NAFTA, and up until this particular election, never really resonated. A lot of people thought it was just kind of sour grapes from the UAW folks. But this time it seems to have some traction. And Hillary Clinton, a couple of Saturdays ago, the day that she did the shot of Crown Royal at Broncos in Crown Point, spent that earlier that day going to Allison Transmission in Indianapolis, AM General up in Mishawaka where they produce the Hummer, and a plant up in Valparaiso that used to make military-sensitive magnets that has since shipped to China. I thought she did a very good job of not only talking about the loss of jobs, but also the outsourcing of defense jobs abroad, and I thought, she was much more effective on that particular issue than trying to paint Barack Obama as an elitist. I didn't think that played well here.
Why have taxes become a major issue in statewide campaigns this year?
Well, we've had property taxes. We've seen pockets around the state where people have seen their property taxes go up triple digits, so particularly here in Indianapolis and places like Kokomo and South Bend. The legislature just passed tax reform, and while our poll shows it still is the leading issue, it's gone down about 8 or 9% from where it was in February. So I'm not sure that the tax issue is really going to be the driving force in the presidential race.
But will it have an effect on the gubernatorial race?
We've got a Democratic primary in the gubernatorial race, and it's almost become the undercard. It's the two candidates aren't very well known, and they've really struggled to get the attention because Obama and Clinton have just have been the driving news force here.
And Mitch Daniels, the Republican governor, is likely to win by a wide margin.
It's too close to call. I personally think that he's vulnerable if we see the kind of wave, a Democratic wave that would come up.
You mean a coattails?
Yes, yes. I think there's a scenario. I still think the Iraq war, which didn't even show up in our poll as a main issue, I still think that between now and November, that's going to be something that voters are going to be voting on. And I think that there's a greater chance of a Democratic wave developing across the country, and I think we'll probably see that begin maybe in July or August. But something, a scenario like that could wash him out, although he'll be tough to beat. He's a very good campaigner.
We have very little time, and I just wanted to get to one other thing. John McCain said yesterday was discussing his market-based health care plan. Is health care as big an issue in Indiana as it is in most of the other parts of the country?
Absolutely. We've had, at one point, there were something like 800,000 Hoosiers that did not have access to health care. Now, the legislature's had some bills that have shaved a couple hundred thousand off that, and it's kind of still in flux. Not quite as extensive as Massachusetts, but there are more people that are coming on the rolls. But it's still a problem. It's a huge burden for small business, and there's still a lot of people that are going without health care.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Brian
Leonard,
A. Howie. He's the publisher of Howie Politics Indiana. We've been talking about Indiana on our States of the Union.